Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Krishna Katha ki jai, Harinama Sankirtan ki jai, Gaura Premanandi. Namam Vishnu Vadaya Kishe Vishai Bhutala. Om Agyana Timarandasya Janandana Silakaya Chakshiru Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhivyevicha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It seems we have a very popular topic today. So I'm going to speak on the subject. I was going to speak on Prajalpa and surprise you a little bit with the topic of gossiping and also rumor. I'll read one verse from the Nectar of Instruction about Prajalpa just to start. I think I'd like to make this... this topic practical and see how it's relevant to us, if indeed it is relevant to us. So from the Nectar of Instruction by Srila Rupa Goswami. Achahara priyashascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangaschalolam cha sadbhya bhakti vinashiti. Rupa Goswami mentions the six impediments to devotional service. I'm going to make this a little bit interactive as a topical class. Who could tell me what the six impediments are? Achahara. What is achahara? Yes, it's overeating or collecting more than necessary. Priyasascha. And over-endeavoring. For those things which don't come easily. Janasanga. Jana literally means men, I think. Jana Sangha, yes. Association of non-devotees. Lolyam. Greed. Who said that? Is it greed? Lolyam. What is lolyam, Maharaj? It is greed. Okay. Oh, I've missed two out. Prajalpa. Well, how is it translated? Yes, Prabhu? Prajalpa? Huh? Unnecessary talk, yes. Unnecessary talk. And niyamagraha. What does niyamagraha mean? Yes. It has two meanings, depending on the conjunction of the Sanskrit. Meaning either following rules and regulations blindly without understanding the purposes behind them, or the other meaning, not following the rules and regulations or neglecting them. So prajalpa, in the purport Srila Prabhupada mentions, we'll focus on prajalpa, but I'd like to look at particular types of prajalpa in this lesson. I'm going to finish by about 8:30 and we'll take some questions and answers. Another impediment is prajalpa, unnecessary talking. When we mix with a few friends, we immediately begin unnecessary talking, sounding just like croaking toads. Srila Prabhupada sometimes used the word frogs as well, the analogy of frogs. particularly because the frogs attract the snake of death, the black snake of death. Mm-hmm. So apparently snakes are very fond of frogs. And the snake, black snake, also represents death, kala sapa. So we do not realize that when we're chattering away, we're wasting time and attracting death. If we must talk, we should talk about the Krishna consciousness movement. Those outside of the Krishna consciousness movement are interested in reading heaps of newspapers, magazines, and novels. I was actually thinking, where do you see heaps of newspapers, novels, and magazines? My experience is I usually see them in the dentist's or the hospital waiting room. Have you noticed? I always have a little bit of dilemma. Shall I distract myself from the impending appointment with the dentist by reading these, or should I focus on something a little more serious, such as the fact that the reason I'm suffering is I've actually got a body with teeth? Have you ever been through that kind of dilemma yourself? Yeah, you know. Yeah, okay, fine. But most people absorb. But regrettably, no amount of reading the newspapers and magazines puts off the impending appointment we have with the dentist. We kind of forget also that we have to, I guess, analogously, we forget that we have to, as one poet put it, I think it was a what do they call that when on a grave? There's a word, epitaph. There was an epitaph to a dentist which concluded with the line, filling his last cavity. So we forget that there's another cavity we have to fill. Anyway, I thought, heaps of newspapers and magazines, we have experience in the dentists and in the... be interesting to find out what we do when we're in the dentist, but that's another subject. Solving crossword puzzles and doing many other nonsensical things. In this fashion, people simply waste their valuable time and energy. In the Western countries, old men, retired from active life, play cards, fish, watch television, and debate about useless socio-political schemes. All these and other frivolous activities are included in the prajalpa category. Intelligent persons interested in Krishna consciousness should never take part in such activities. I thought I'd discuss this because it's easy to take a rather simplistic view, and I'd like to kind of focus in something that could be very, very practical for us. Prajalpa, or avoiding prajalpa, doesn't just mean reading Krishna book all day. I think sometimes when our younger members get married, there's a kind of stereotype is what they do is read Krishna book together. Yes? So what does this project? I mean, it's very difficult actually to always simply focus on Shastra. I know in some temples we'd have the habit of reading scripture, which is very nice, during prasadam, although some devotees were objecting, maybe this is a bit too unnatural. Can't we just speak and perhaps speak about Krishna more spontaneously? So there are some kind of controversies about this. And indeed, it is difficult simply to speak about scripture all the time. We might even be thinking, I think I've got a quote here that I'll just read. This is from a writing by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Sri Bhaktiloka. The book's called Sri Bhaktiloka. Talking without reason about other people is extremely adverse to devotional service. Because the renunciates have no business whatsoever with sense enjoyment, they can give up talking about others in all respects. But because a householder is engaged in earning, saving, and protecting and maintaining the family, he cannot completely give up talking about others. It is best for him to live in a Krishna-conscious family. When all one's material activities are related with Krishna, then even his unavoidable talk about others becomes sinless and a part of devotional practice in relation to Krishna. He should not talk about others in a way that is detrimental to anyone. Interesting kind of criterion here for choosing what we talk about. Is this detrimental to anyone? We'll come to whether it's detrimental to ourselves also in a little while. He should not talk about others without reason. Moreover, when a guru enlightens his disciple on some topic, then unless he occasionally talks about others, his instruction may not be clear. That's interesting, isn't it? In other words, what is being said here is that we have to give, when we're explaining, when we're teaching, when we're preaching, to make it clear, we often have to give specific examples. That's a good teaching practice. Those of us who are studying in education will know that. Keeping it abstract doesn't help. We need to understand particular examples of where a principle applies. So we have to give examples. And the text goes on to explain, as Shukadeva Goswami said in Srimad Bhagavatam, the lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. Persons devoid of Atma-tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. This verse is quoted as possibly an example of criticizing others, or criticizing more specifically, and we could discuss that, is actually criticizing a particular type of behavior that goes on. And notice the word is used, envious householders. So envious householders are particularly good at today's topic of gossip and rumor. So it is difficult to actually it's a difficult one to follow strictly, and even for practical reasons, if one's engaged in household affairs or if one's engaged in preaching, there may be some instances where we really do have to talk about others. Of course, there are certain types of prajalpa which are particularly malicious and to be avoided, such as excessive fault-finding and particularly Vaishnava aparad. So Vaishnava aparad is one of the offenses against the holy name and is extremely detrimental to our spiritual life. But there's some areas of talking then that are actually, it's a little unclear. Is this Krishna conscious? Is this prajalpa? Or is it not prajalpa? Are we simply talking in order to actually preach and teach? Or are we engaged in some kind of criticism? So I'm going to make a few observations here, and I've listed them. First one is here. So we're focusing now on that tension between what is clearly rumor and gossip, or, for example, making aparad, and actually simply chanting Hare Krishna all day or reading Krishna book all day or whatever, which is not possible for many of us. So there's some kind of grey areas here. One thing is, my first point is, we often feel we have a good reason to criticize. There is a proverb that moral indignation is jealousy with a halo. In other words, when we become indignant about something, maybe it's people not going to Mangalati or the way some of the ladies dress or so on and so forth, we have to ask ourselves questions here. What's really going on? I'm not saying that there's not room for some type of consideration of such issues, but what is the motive here? We have to be very, very careful. There is a great tendency to engage in what is called projection. Projection is when actually we have some type of anatta within the heart, some kind of fault, which we hide from others very carefully, naturally. I want you to think I'm a great person. So I hide those, but somehow or other we start to they become projected onto the outside world. And therefore, very often, the faults we see in others are a great indication of where we need to improve. Part of the process of devotional service is anatta nirvritti, giving up some of these unwanted desires. One way we can spot these is to see what we're critical of in others. It gives a good indication of what may be going on for us. This is called projection. It's actually a term used in the outside world. Psychologists know well, and therapists know a lot about this, but it's also embedded in our own tradition, the way we actually project our own concepts and so on into the outside world. And especially if we're repressing ourselves, this self-repression, where we're putting on this face of being saintly, as we like to do, particularly in devotional circles, we have certain standards to come up to. What happens is those will be projected onto others. We will become critical. One has to be very careful that. B, I'm going to come on to some other points. We feel that if we are not gossiping because we're a leader or an elder, so we think, I'm a manager, I've therefore got some right. We need to be careful of that. Here's another one we do. We feel it is okay if we ask the other party not to repeat it. I'm going to tell you a secret. Don't tell it to anyone. Is that okay? And then I'll tell you. And of course that person then goes to the next person and says, tell you what, just heard some news, promise not to tell anyone. And in that way it goes on. Another observation is that for some reason our society hasn't got a great reputation with regards to confidentiality. I don't know why. We could discuss it, and perhaps we could discuss it in a few minutes. Perhaps there's a mistaken idea that we shouldn't have a private life. Spiritual people don't have private lives. I'm not sure on that. I don't agree. Chanakya Pandit says there are certain things that you do not tell to anyone. You do not tell people about your economic situation. You do not tell them about the conversations you have with your husband or your wife. You do not tell them about some of the vexations of your mind. He gives a list. There is a room, I think, for private life and private spirituality. Anyway, we could discuss that a little more. Another question we can ask, I'll leave that another. We could discuss a little more. But I'd like to introduce now, because we're short of time, some theological points related to karma and criticizing, gossip, and rumor. If we criticize someone or we mock someone, say someone is invalid or has some disability, and we mock them for that, do you know what happens with regards to karma? That bad karma comes to you. And if we praise someone for their good qualities, and I don't mean flattery here, I mean praise, those good qualities come to us. But there are some very difficult situations with regard to karma. It's kind of hard to work out, isn't it? I mean, can you imagine? We have a whole theology where everyone is actually individually responsible for his or her own destiny. Now, someone's got to work this out. How do we deliver good karma and bad karma? For example, the question may be raised, if there is a tragic plane crash, was it that the pilot was destined to die and everyone else happened to be on board and therefore somehow or other died? There are some deep questions here regarding karma. One can imagine some of the intricacies of working this all out, because according to our theology, yes, it isn't just accidental. Everything is perfectly orchestrated. But we can imagine that this kind of, we could say, do we have accountants here? Who are our accountants? Bookkeepers, they're not here, I don't think. There's this job that someone has to do, tracking our accountability, keeping accounts. And his name is Chitragupta. He's the accountant of Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. So he's keeping tabs on absolutely everything. Quite a complicated job. I hear he has a latest edition of the latest computer just to keep tabs. You can imagine, that's quite complex. But the problem is sometimes he doesn't know where karma belongs. And there's a story. I'm not sure if I've got all the details right here, so please tell me if you know better. But the point, I think, is the same. That once there was a eagle that had caught a snake. And the eagle was flying in the sky, and some poison fell from the fangs of the recently deceased serpent down, bump, into a pot of sweet rice that a wealthy, pious merchant was feeding to some Brahmins. The Brahmins ate the sweet rice mixed with poison, and as usually happens with poison, they passed away. So there was some debate about, well, where does the karma belong? It just seems it's not the Brahmin's fault. I can't really blame the eagle. He's a bird. Probably have difficulty blaming the snake. He's dead. So Chitragupta was really concerned about this. A little while later, They didn't try the merchant or anything like that. He was okay. There was probably a little bit of gossip. So what happened, a little later, some more Brahmins were on their way to the village, and they stopped and they asked someone, could you tell us the way to such and such a name? We've heard he's very charitable to the Brahmins, and we would like to take lunch. So they were going their way, and they asked, and then they asked, as it was, an old lady, and she said, "Ooh, you can go there. He poisons Brahmins. He's a murderer of Brahmins." Chitragupta looked and said, "Ah, now I know where the karma should go to that lady." So it seems that any karma that Chitragupta has difficulty allocating comes to the rumor mongers, the gossipers. That's a pretty heavy one. We're all going to leave this class, actually, with our mouths firmly sealed. It's a difficult one, isn't it? Gossip. Particularly in a religious organization, we tend to think there's good reason. That is part of the problem. But we need to be very careful about this. I think it was my friend Jamashtami Prabhu, Jamashtami from Mayapur, who told me that Srila Prabhupada particularly disliked gossip. And I do have one quote here, which I can read to you. No, that's not. Oh yes, this one. This is from Kurmadas. Kurma's the cook. I think he's English, but lives in Australia. The book is called The Great Transcendental Adventure. A couple of devotees entered the kitchen while Upendra was cooking. Before too long, Upendra, as was sometimes his frivolous habit, had reduced the conversation to a mundane gossip session. After the devotees left the kitchen, Prabhupada, from his adjoining room, suddenly called for Upendra in an angry voice. "Upendra, come in here." Upendra ran in. Prabhupada looked disturbed. "Yes, Srila Prabhupada?" "What were you doing?" "I was just talking with some devotees in the kitchen." Prabhupada shook his head in disgust. "Gossip, it will destroy the movement." After a few moments, Prabhupada dismissed Upendra, who, visibly shaken, offered his obeisances and left the room. This is a quote by Chitralekha. There's a conversation going on. Upendra immediately came downstairs and related the whole incident. He was mortified, as usual, from Prabhupada's chastisement. I guess he needed it because Upendra loved to gossip. I don't know whether Upendra was able to take the lesson to heart, but I certainly did. From that day, I made a conscious effort never to gossip about devotees. Srila Prabhupada mentions that, the destructive nature of gossip, how it can actually, according to him, destroy the movement. You can answer it if you talk about Krishna. Oh, is your alarm? Okay. Am I meant to finish? Oh, yes. Good. Thank you. I'll take that as a sign. I will finish soon. I did read, interesting, a lot of religious people have a lot to say about gossiping and rumor mongering. And particularly in Islam, it's considered a very bad sin. And I did some research on the website, hoping to find all these quotes about how bad rumoring and gossip mongering was. Of course, what I came up with was a lot of websites entitled something something gossip in a very positive sense. But I came across some on Islam, and it mentions there that even wars start through gossip. It's very prevalent. We could discuss a little bit how even Krishna was not, immune from gossip. When the lion killed Prashena and was carrying the Shamataka jewel, then everyone knew that Krishna had his eyes on the jewel. And the rumor was going around that Krishna killed Prashena. And Krishna had to actually clear his name. Other examples, Lord Ram also was subject to gossip. Lord Chaitanya was subject to gossip and therefore took sannyas. There's many examples. So gossip is prevalent. We really need to try and avoid it. And I know myself, being involved with the college, and naturally some controversies come when we have students around. And being in such a community, it is very easy to become embroiled. We hear something, and immediately we respond or we react. And I think we need to be very, very careful about this. I've got a few practical points here, and I'll just read them very quickly. We need to be very careful in allocating blame. Who is to blame? And there's one quote here, Srila Prabhupada says, "The mistake of modern civilization is that we are, I mean to say, bringing up spoiled children. So when they are grown up, if they become hippies or communists," seems Srila Prabhupada didn't like hippies and communists, with apologies to all the communists amongst us, and possible ex-hippies, "it is not their fault. It is the fault of the guardians. It is the fault of the guardians. When the people become just something against the social convention, it is not the fault of the youngsters, but is the fault of the educational system, it is the fault of the parents, it is the fault of the teachers. This is not giving our students carte blanche to behave badly and then blame us or their parents. But it's interesting to note, it is difficult to know where responsibility lies or who is to blame. We need to be very careful on that. Secondly, I've said, could we ask ourselves, in which way can I actually make a positive difference? We may be concerned about something, but can we make a positive difference? And we may ask ourselves, what is the best forum for discussing this? Is gossip the best way to go about this? Or is there some other way I can address this issue? There are issues, there are faults, there's always room for improvement. But what's the best way of bringing about such improvement? Is it gossip? Not usually. It doesn't usually help. These are some thoughts. I've actually had instances of people coming and chewing my ear off. And I say, would you like to put in a complaint? Oh, no. Why not? So if we do want to improve things, we should take some responsibility for that or keep it shut. So we should know what is the best forum for speaking, having other people's welfare at heart and hearing some of the quotes about karma, possibly having our own welfare at heart as well. I'm going to finish there and ask for some discussion on our own experience of gossip and if there's any way we can improve individually. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, in preaching. I think in preaching it's one thing is we shouldn't criticize directly the person. We should criticize the behavior. Because we're all separate from our behavior. As soon as we start to conflate a person's behavior with themselves by saying, you are something, you are foolish, you are not very intelligent, or you are a communist, or whatever, we're falling into the trap of using designations, upadhi. We're none of those things. We are spirit souls, but our behavior may be erroneous. So we need to address the behavior. And secondly, we should be very, very careful about criticizing people in name. If we're just using examples, we should be careful. I think also there's a certain amount of introspection that's needed here. Why are we criticizing? What is the motive? And Srila Prabhupada seems to give a clue. Are we concerned for the welfare, or is there something else going on? I've noticed myself, when I start criticizing, I kind of feel a bit of a buzz, a kind of energy. Oh, this is good. My life comes back. That's problematic. That's a problem I've got. So some introspection is needed. Why am I criticizing? And of course in religious organizations, as other organizations, there's a tendency to think if we can put others down, we can lift ourselves up. That's a material concept. If the one side of the seesaw goes down, the other side goes up. Not true. Therefore, Chanakya Pandit says, one who actually criticizes others in a public forum reveals his own faults. We don't. So we need to be very, very careful about putting others down for the purpose of raising our own apparent self-esteem or reputation. Does that answer somewhat? Or do you want to come back to me with something?
It's more or less clear.
see the good, see what people are doing right, and if you have to qualify it, qualify it. See what they're doing right. You won't win people by seeing always what they're doing wrong. You're trying to enjoy. This is wrong. What a nonsense statement anyway. Why not, you know, oh, we're kind of condemning sense gratification. Half an hour after we stole the Mangalati sweets. It won't work. Because people want to be happy. A certain amount of sense gratification is useful. They'll think we're against enjoying. We're not against enjoying. Confirmed. We're not against enjoying. One has to see what others are doing right. So we may say, we want to be happy. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be happy. However, we all experience, it doesn't always work. No one's going to say no. But if we come in heavily in a critical mood, at least those who are respectable, who've got some self-esteem, won't appreciate it. Very important. We may attract a certain type of person. Some other comments? Thank you. Dinadal Prabhu, and then I'll go to Bhagavati. Yes, Prabhu. That's a good example. We can follow Lord Ram's example, and if we hear something against us, we may actually consider whether this is true. We may take it as an opportunity to be introspective. We may sometimes have to take, as Lord Krishna did, some active, something to actually challenge that. I think it requires a lot of discretion, depends what the circumstances are. But certainly what you're saying, what you're indicating, I think, is that, you know, take that as an opportunity to learn and see that, you know, what is being said about me is possibly true. Yeah. Of course, the problem is that with rumors, the rumor doesn't necessarily mean untrue. You're spreading a rumor. Oh, but it's true. Sorry, it's still a rumor. Yeah. I think there are a variety of responses. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas to stop the rumor so they wouldn't commit offense. That may also be a consideration if people are criticizing us, especially if we have some senior position. That's not helping them if they carry on criticizing. Bhagavati. That's a good point, and not all of us are maybe, Bhagavati's point, maybe not familiar with this. They talk about, I think it was Stephen Covey identified it like this. Sorry, area of concern, and that is quite a big circle, and within that is our area of influence. And if we go to look at our area of concern that's beyond our influence, we're wasting our time. In other words, if we're concerned about something but we can't change it, what is the use? Just forget it. Just say, it's Krishna Kripa. However, we tend to be very often more concerned with those areas of concern that lie outside our area of influence than those that are within our area of influence, because then we don't have to do anything responsibly. And there's a lot to do with irresponsibility in spiritual life and in blaming and in gossip. It helps us to actually not take responsibility for our lives. And that's the one thing we really find great difficulty doing. It's tied up with the problem of evil. To say that, you know, I am here in this position entirely because of my own free choice. We've got to blame someone else. but it's hard to really take full responsibility for our lives, even to accept theoretically that I have full responsibility for my life. So yes, what can we do about it? I think there's two mistakes in ISKCON. One is to blindly follow and think everything is hunky-dory, or to think it should be utopia. I've got some quotes here where Srila Prabhupada says, we shouldn't be utopian. And he also says, we're not impersonalists. And this idea that if someone is insensitive to me, instead of calling them insensitive, I call them impersonal. I know why you're calling them impersonal. I know why. I'm being critical here. We actually start to think, why? If I call you an impersonalist, you're immediately a follower of Shankara. Bad. In ISKCON, bad, bad, bad. But Srila Prabhupada disputes that. He says we actually have difficulties because we're personless. We have differences of opinion. It's natural we have differences of opinion. Yeah. Even in the Krishna book, I think King Ugrasena didn't like Akrura. They didn't get on. Both pure devotees. They didn't go on. Some people we like, some we don't like so much. That's kind of natural. But yes, what can we do about it? And if we can't... So two mistakes. We actually think there's no problems, everything's great, you know, hurry ball. We haven't even got a single university in the world, and we're going to take over the world. We've got a few challenges, right? We have to become exemplary. We have to improve our marriage record. We have to have exemplary leadership, management. We have to have exemplary education. We have to have some money. So, we're half decent in business. So, yes, we need to see that we've still got challenges. But the other mistake is actually to become critical, to set up a splinter group, to take part in numerous website discussions, and so on. So we have to see there's room for improvement, but how can we change them? And our biggest area of influence is to change the self. That's what we can really work on. I mean, can I change you? There may be some kind of help we can give, but ultimately it's up to us, isn't it? And that's the hardest one to do, to change myself. Martin,
I have two comments. The first one is Prabhupada said, pure Brahman, he will even tell the secrets to an enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Second comment is, there was a time the Prabhupada was working in Mayapur with his GBC and all the high whips, and he was taking his walks. And then he saw this toilet on the ground. It's not like the toilet in the West. It's a hall, and school was all around. And he said to his GBC man, what is this? Who has done this? And the first thing he said, it's not us.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you're right. And the Brahmin may actually, he shouldn't be defending himself out of fear or attachment. But that doesn't mean that we can say to the Brahmins, you've got to tell us everything. It's their discretion. Srila Prabhupada was asked on a number of occasions, what's your relationship with your spiritual master? He got very angry. It's not your business. It's not our business as a junior to ask a senior devotee about their intimate relationships with their spiritual master. There is some area of privacy. So there's a counterexample. But it's up to the Brahman. The Brahman should be unattached, that he's willing to say, yeah, my money's there. You want the key as well? Right? He should be so unattached. Well, that's another thing. But even the Brahman, I'm talking about the Brahman, even it doesn't mean that we have to say to him, you've got to tell us. It's his own discretion. So there may be different levels. Also, Srila Prabhupada explains here, and I haven't the time to read it, but he says it depends on your position. And of course, one of the problems with democracy is that we think we have an answer for everything. And then we say to people, you know, I can criticize the government and everyone. And if someone says to me, would you like to come and be Prime Minister of Belgium? No, they don't have one. If you want to be Prime Minister of the UK, No. I don't want to do it. But by criticizing, you are saying, I'm better than that. I know better than them. I can speak, but can you do it? No. You can't. So democracy has this problem. One of the problems. We all think we can speak, but we don't actually take leadership. We're complaining. And I met one devotee. We haven't got Varnashram, by which he meant sustainability. At one point, I remember, I said, what are you going to do about it? You know, what's your plans to introduce it? He said, no, that's not my job. It's up to the GBC. Again, area of influence, area of concern. But you're right. We have to be aware, and we have to point out, but we have to be aware, is it actually going to help? And also, what is my position?
Yeah, one has to be careful with discrimination because it can be for your own ego.
Absolutely.
You might think it's for the better for the other person. But yeah. The person who's criticizing will be very careful that it's not for the inflated ego and that it's for the benefit of the other person.
Absolutely. And that's a very good point. Thank you. Yeah. Very good point. Yes. Yeah. It's very dangerous, of course, to become a kind of, to see oneself as the protector of the faith. I'm going to save ISKCON because this, yeah, good. Just one more comment and then we must finish. Or question. Did I see something there? Okay. It is difficult, this, giving up gossip. It really is difficult, particularly when something comes to us or someone criticizes us or criticizes someone dear to us. I think to conclude, some discretion is necessary, and perhaps let's keep alert to this, what's going on, and raise our awareness of what is gossip and ask ourselves questions. Is this really the best thing to do, or could I take some other? And one other final point, I'm going to, there was one priest who actually said, he was writing against the Christian priest, he says, rumor mongers, the speaker and the listener should both be hung. He said, hang the speaker by his tongue and hang the listener by his ear. He was quite heavy. The point being, we sometimes think that if I'm the listener, it's fine. Someone's putting the rumor on me. Not the case. We sometimes need to say to some people, I don't want to listen to this. Or why don't you go and tell the person themselves? And that might be a useful meditation to think about. We're not innocent if we're the listener rather than the speaker. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.